I pray that you'll help as we get into the word here in just a little while, that you'll bless that. And may your word speak to our hearts. God, we do want to thank you for the mothers in our life, God, that you'll just bless them, touch them. And God, help us always in everything that we do, each and every one of us, to give you glory with our lives and to point someone to the cross of Christ. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
To your side, your mercy calls me to be like you, and your favor is my delight. Every day I'll awaken my praise and pour out a song for my heart. draws me to your side. Your mercy calls me to be like you, and your favor is my delight. Every day I'll awake in my praise and pour out a song from my heart. You are good, you are good, you are good. Your mercy is forever. You are good, you are good, you are good. Your mercy is forever. Your kindness is forever. Your goodness is forever. Your mercy is forever, forever. Oh, your kindness is forever. Your goodness is forever. Your mercy is forever. And I love you forever.
Amen. I'm glad that God is good and that His mercy endures forever. It lasts forever. You know, I do realize, and sometimes I know that we take it for granted, but I do realize as we get up every day that I can't even walk without God holding my hand. And then even as I try to walk, even with God holding my hand, sometimes I stumble and I fall and I make a mess out of things because I don't trust in Him and lean on Him like I should. And then when I do fall, I'm glad that God's mercy endures forever and that God is good. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, thankful for the ones to come and sing for us this morning. It sure does make it a lot easier. I know you're not here this morning. I trust, you know, that's one wonderful thing about the God that we're serving, and He's a big enough God that He's there with you in your living room or wherever you happen to be watching from this morning. But the presence of God can be felt here in the sanctuary this morning, and I'm thankful for God's presence being here with us. I ask you to pray as we get into the message this morning. Sometimes special occasions are tough to preach anyway, especially Mother's Day, Father's Day, things like that. Very, very hard to preach sometimes and know that you're trying to preach what God has laid on your heart and then also bring honor to mothers and women in your life that has been a spiritual blessing to you. And we're going to do our best to do that this morning, but I ask you to be much in prayer as I do that so that I can also present the gospel and preach the message that God has laid on my heart this morning. If you want to go ahead and take your Bibles and turn with us to Proverbs chapter number 31, we'll be taking a lot of reading from Proverbs chapter number 31. Before we begin reading, I again want to wish all the mothers a happy Mother's Day. I sure do miss seeing your face here in the house of God. I am ready to go back to church. I know we still got some time to go. I still know that we have some things to get through in order for us to be back here in the sanctuary together, but I'm ready to see. See, God's blessed me with a lot of spiritual mothers here, even in our church family, and a lot of spiritual sisters that I miss seeing here in the sanctuary, and I'm looking forward to that. Men, you got Father's Day coming. I'll talk to y'all and talk about y'all then. But right now, this morning, we want to focus on the mothers in our lives, and you know there are more than I've got one more than one mother. And you say, well, how in the world do you get that? Well, First of all, I've got the mother that God gave me, my mom, Teresa Seacrest, and I'm so thankful for her and the way that she raised me and the things that she taught me about honoring God, the way that she brought me up. I'm so thankful for that. But then since the time I was about 14 or 15 years old, Autumn has been like a mother to me. And it's been, we've kind of raised each other, and it's been fun. It's been trying at times, but it's been a lot of fun also. But before we get to celebrating the mothers in our life, I do want to pause for just one moment. Because sometimes in the middle of our celebration, in the middle of honoring our mothers, and we forget that there are some things that bring a little bit of heartache there in this time. And I want us to pause for just a minute. Let's remember, we may have people in our church family or people that's watching this morning that this is your first Mother's Day without your mother. Or maybe it's not the first one, but maybe today you're spending Mother's Day without your mother because she's already gone home to be with the Lord. And I know that can be tough, and I want to pause for just a minute and let's remember those mothers for just a moment. Or you may be a mother that is spending Mother's Day without your children. I know that we have mothers in our church family that some of their children have gone on before them, and we know that in our minds and in our logic that we have that it's never right for children to go before the parents, that we as parents never want to outlive our children, but sometimes it does happen. And I know that we have a church family that already have some children that have gone on before them, and no doubt, even as we celebrate Mother's Day, we need to pause and remember those, because I'm sure that it brings some heartache as today goes on. We also maybe have some ladies in our church that, for whatever reason, can't have children. And we want to pause for just a minute and pray for you especially. And, you know, God's timing and God's way is always perfect. And we don't always understand, and we don't always know why God allows things or things happen in our life. But I know when Autumn and I were trying to start our family, and it seemed to be a struggle for a while, that it was something that was on her heart very heavy, and it actually played a big part of our life in that time period. And God did see fit to allow us to have children, but I know there are some ladies that would love to have children that, for whatever reason, that hasn't been God's plan for your life. And I want you to know that I'm praying for you this morning, that I care for you. We may have some, and I know we have some in our church family, that their babies went on before they ever came into this world. And sometimes we forget, I know that situation is something that we as men probably don't even understand. We don't fully grasp what that is and the pain that goes along with that. But for whatever reason, sometimes God's plan is for babies not to ever make it into this world. And maybe you're a mom that had a miscarriage, and your baby never even made it into this world. I want you to know that one day that you'll see that baby again. I fully believe and I fully trust that those babies are in heaven, and I believe with all my heart that one day that you will finally get to meet that baby. And I want you to know that I'm praying for you, and I want you to know that you're not forgotten, and that your babies are not forgotten, your mothers are not forgotten. Whatever the situation may be, if any of those things have been in your life and maybe causing a little heartache or a little heartbreak in your heart this morning, I want you to trust God, and I want to trust God myself with those things. And I ask you, as we're going to take another opportunity and pray, and I ask you just to pray one for another. Maybe you know someone in that circumstance or that situation. I know sometimes that we don't reach out to people because we don't know what to say. We don't have an answer. We feel like what we say is never going to be enough. But sometimes just to know that someone is not forgotten. Sometimes just to know that their son, their daughter that went on before them is not forgotten. Or that baby that never made it, or that mother that went on. Just let them know. Maybe just shoot them a quick text, shoot them a quick heart. Let them know that you remember and that you're praying for them. Let's go together to the Lord in word of prayer, and let's just pray for these people and pray for this service. Lord, we thank you again for this opportunity that we have to be in your house. And God, I pray to your Father, the Lord, as you've put these things on my heart as we begin to get ready to celebrate our mothers. And God, we even want to celebrate all of the decisions that you've made in our lives, God, because you know what's best, even though we don't understand your plan. And God, sometimes it's not very comforting even just to know that you know what's best. But God, I pray that you'll comfort these hearts. God, I pray that you'll work in lives. God, I pray that if it's your will that you could give understanding, but we know that's not always going to be your will. But God, we do know that you can comfort and that you can love. And God, we ask you to do that in these times and in these situations, God. And Lord, I pray as we get into your word this morning that you'll clear my mind, that God, you'll help me to preach the message that you've laid upon my heart. God, I pray that you'll help me, God, through this as we celebrate mothers, that we'll also present the gospel. And God, that people will know that Jesus Christ loved them with a love that's greater than any mother, any father, anybody in this world ever could, God, that you loved us that much, that you allowed him to come and give his life for us. God, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to get in your word. I pray that you'll bless. God, I pray that you'll go wherever people may be watching from this morning, that your Holy Spirit will be there with them. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Again, we're going to be in Proverbs chapter number 31 this morning. We're going to do a little bit of reading. Sometimes, as y'all know, I don't like to do a lot of reading. I feel like I lose you a little bit, but I have no choice in what the point that I want to get to this morning. I want us to look in Proverbs chapter number 31, and let's begin reading with verse number 10. The Bible says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." As we look at verse number 10, I know I didn't get very far before I stopped, but I want us to look at this word virtuous this morning. In Proverbs chapter number 31 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "Who can find a virtuous woman?" And as we look at that word virtuous this morning, we know, or we can study and we can find out, or in my Bible even has little cheat notes here in the middle, that virtuous means a woman of valor. As we look at this morning, the Bible says, "Who can find a virtuous woman or a woman of valor, for her price is far above rubies." Now, as I was reading and studying that this week, and I looked at that word virtuous, and I went to look and see that my Bible's little cheat notes said valor, a characteristic of valor, that I even went one step further, and I wanted to look up what valor meant. I know that we hear it a lot of times, but I want us to look for just a minute and maybe draw a little attention to the word valor this morning. The word valor many times is used to describe actions of boldness and determination, especially in battle. This word valor is used to describe actions of boldness or determination, especially in battle, heroic courage and bravery. Now, as you look at verse number 10, and we know that we're reading about the price of a virtuous woman, and the Bible says, "Who can find a virtuous woman or a woman of valor, for her price is far above rubies?" I know that sometimes that we look at a woman and we see that, well, God made man the head of the house, and God says that a woman is the weaker vessel, and I think we take that way out of context when we read it. So as we read that this morning, we see that God says, "Who can find that woman of valor, that virtuous woman, that woman that shows heroic courage, that woman," as the Bible says it here, it's almost a characteristic that describes a warrior. And you say, well, why did God use that to describe a woman? Well, many of us may see a lady as a weaker vessel or as the Bible says, and again, I think we take that out of context, but I want to give you an illustration or an example or maybe just something from my home. See, as we look at the way that the Bible says a virtuous woman or a woman of valor. See, some of y'all, as y'all come to church, as you come out the back door on Sunday mornings, you see my wife, and my wife is the most beautiful woman on the face of the earth, and I love her with all my heart, getting out of the doghouse this morning. But my wife, she is the most beautiful woman that I have ever seen in my life, and she gets prettier by the day. And y'all see this pretty little face as you come out the back door, and she'll shake your hand, and my wife has a great little characteristic that she does when she shakes your hand, and I've picked up on it. Maybe some of you haven't, but I like to watch my woman, and as y'all come out the back door and she reaches and she shakes your hand, a lot of the times or most of the time she takes her opposite hand and she places it on your wrist, and she's letting you know that she cares for you. She may not even know that she does that, but I've noticed her doing that, and she stands there with this great big smile on her face, and she pays attention to what you have to say, and what you have to say, she then mentions it to me in the car because I have forgotten, because I don't pay attention like I should sometimes. And she's standing there caring for you with this big old smile on her face and shaking her head. And man, she's beautiful. And y'all just see this nice, caring woman. And then, no, things don't change when we get home. But I want to describe something to you as a woman of valor, a virtuous woman, that woman of great courage. And as you come out the door and shake hands, and to my knowledge, none of you have been in this boat yet. But I want to tell you something. This nice, beautiful woman that you see on Sunday mornings with this great, big, beautiful smile on her face, caring for you, wanting to let you know that she cares for you. If you mess with me, or especially her children, you will awaken a warrior. She will come after you like you couldn't believe. Now, she may sort of set and weigh out the decision whether she should come after you or not, and it may not be a physical attack, but I can promise you that she is going to give up on you. She's going to talk about you. That's ugly. I shouldn't say that. That she is going to tell me exactly what she thinks, and that she is going to cut you off. And that nice, big, caring smile that you always see, my woman of valor, my mighty warrior, will come out. I believe that my wife would fight a grizzly bear for me or my children. I have seen her almost fight umpires and other parents at softball games over them. And I know without a doubt that my wife would stand tall and be a mighty woman of valor. You will awaken a warrior if you mess with me or my children. Let's continue reading now that I've laid out my wife's stuff here. I'm not even going to look at her this morning. I'm going to look straight at the camera and just concentrate there. Who can find a virtuous woman? I'm glad that I found a virtuous woman. I'm glad that I found a woman that does care, that she loves, that she wants to be all of the things that God is getting ready to tell us here in Proverbs chapter number 31. But I've also found a woman of valor, a mighty woman of valor that will be a warrior for me, that will be a warrior for my children, and a warrior for the cause of Christ. I'm so thankful for the wife and the mother that God gave me and my children. Verse number 11, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of our life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth forth food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her house, to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. I want to stop here for just a moment here in these verses 15 through 19. I want you to look at these characteristics of how this woman cares for her family, how she's willing to do things that's really not even her responsibility in order to take care of the family, how she picks up the slack from her husband in order to take care of her family. I want to give you also another example from my house. I want to give you something that happens in our house all the time as we look here at these verses, because you know what? There's things that women do nowadays. You know, my wife, I'll come home sometimes and she'll say, "Whoo, I'm give out." And I say, "Well, what are you so give out from?" She said, "Well, I've been washing clothes all day." Now, me being the guy that I am and just full of irony and humor, I always look at her and say, "Well, I'm so sorry that you had to carry those clothes to the creek and beat them on the rock and use your washboard today and wash all of those clothes." I said, "Honey, you had to take them to the basement. No big deal." And I play it off. But as we look, and I really look at what my wife does and what your wife probably does around your home, it is amazing the slack that they pick up behind some of us men when we don't do what is supposed to be done. See, this also happens at my house, because every night it seems I come in and I sit down on the couch and I turn the TV on after supper. And we'll sit there and talk, or we might watch TV together or whatever. And then at some point during the night, well, this was before all of this happened with the pandemic. Now my family throws parties every night and they stay up till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and I go to bed at a decent time and get up and go to work. But before the party days come around my house, every night at a certain time, we would begin to get ready to go to bed. And usually Autumn would say, "Well, I think I'll just go on to bed." And she'll get up and she'll start to the bedroom. And on her way to the bedroom, she folds the blankets that's on the couch and puts them away. She'll walk to the kitchen and put up maybe the leftovers from supper and take care of the dishes. She'll look down and she'll double check to see all the kids are kids' lunches are ready for school tomorrow and that their book bags are all packed and they're ready to go to school tomorrow. She'll change the laundry from the washer to the dryer, or she may even get clothes out of the dryer and fold a load of laundry on her way to bed. She'll write down 3 or 4 notes of things to do tomorrow. She'll check with all the kids to be sure that their homework is done. Remind everyone to brush their teeth before they go to bed. She'll go in and she'll pull the trash out in the middle of the floor so tomorrow morning, surely, I won't forget it again. She'll go and check with all the kids again, give them final instructions for the night, for the next day, give good night kisses, lay Silas's clothes out for the next day. Then she'll go to our bedroom, go into the bathroom, brush her hair, brush her teeth, put on all of her moisturizer. She spends more time getting ready for bed than I do for getting ready to go anywhere else. And she does all of this on her way to bed. And then just before she goes to bed, she'll come back into the living room and wake me up on the couch and say, "Are you ready for bed?" While she's done all of this other stuff, I'm in there usually asleep on the couch. Man, this virtuous woman that does all of these things that she shouldn't be doing by herself. You know, my excuse is always, well, I get up and go to work every day. Well, hallelujah, that's what I'm supposed to do. But then Autumn takes care of all of this stuff around the house, just as I'm sure that it happens at your house from time to time too, that we know that we have a woman, a virtuous woman, a woman of great valor that's willing to pitch in and do more than they're even supposed to in order to be sure that the family is provided for, to be sure that the family is ready, to be sure that everything is the way that it's supposed to be. Let's continue reading verse number 20. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. She'll go without in order to be sure that everyone else has better than she does. Verse number 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. You know what, as I read verse number 23, I can think of specific examples in particular that I will not share with you this morning, but I can think of times when maybe I've been just my wonderful, lovely self and said something to my wife that she didn't deserve, and I know that she's aggravated to the nth degree with me. And as we come to church, and the church here knows that sometimes that Autumn tells me that I'll put my holy britches on when I come to church and put on my pretty face and come in here and pretend everything is okay. And I do that in order to try my best to preach the gospel and to be the pastor that God's called me to be. But my wife takes the brunt of that sometimes. And as we come into church, and as I know that she is absolutely aggravated with me, that I have hurt her feelings, or maybe sometimes she's just mad at me because maybe the trash is still sitting out in the middle of the floor where she pulled it out and I still walked right by it. I know she is, but then again, as we come into the sanctuary and as we come in to the house of God, she'll brag about me. She'll talk good about me. She would never let you know that she is aggravated at me or that I've done anything wrong. That's my virtuous woman. And you know, that's the way that wives are. They lift up their husbands. They take care of their children. They do the things. That's what the Bible is telling us about here in Proverbs chapter number 31. Let's continue reading. Verse number 26, as we begin to read, we'll continue to see, yes, that we know that God made man the head of the house. And again, we may talk about that on Father's Day for just a minute. God made man the head of the house, but I believe that God made woman the heart of the house. Verse number 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. I believe verse number 28 is something that we need to do more often. I know today is Mother's Day and we're taking an opportunity to celebrate mothers in our life. But what about the other 364 days a year? Do you show your wife, do you show your mother how much that you appreciate her, how much that she does for her, and let her know that you understand that she is a virtuous woman, a woman of valor that is willing to do more than she should to protect you and to protect the family. Verse number 29, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. in Proverbs chapter number 31. We have just read several verses through verse number 31 that describes this virtuous woman. And women, I will express that God has put many women, virtuous women around me. There's only one that's my woman, and I'm going to stick with her till death do us part. But God has put many women around us that have become spiritual grandmothers, spiritual mothers to us. And I want to thank you for what you've done in my life and the example that you've set in my life. I want to thank you for the example that you've given my wife in order for her to excel at being this virtuous woman that God has called her to be. But as we look at this, I want to also place a challenge to you women today. As I've spent this time to celebrate and to talk about the characteristics that God says that a virtuous woman has, I also want to take an opportunity and I want to challenge you with something. In order for us to do that, I want to turn to Luke chapter number 1. Luke chapter number 1, we'll find a mother here in the Bible like no other mother. See, we know that in Luke chapter number 1, that an angel has come to Mary. And he has made an announcement that Mary is going to have a child. And as Mary hears the instruction from the angel, as she hears the plan from the angel, Mary cannot understand. She don't have a clue what's going on because she knows that she's never been with a man. And she says, how can this be, seeing I know not a man? See, God's plan don't always make sense to us. We just have to understand that God's plan is always perfect. And as the angel tells Mary that she is going to have a child, that she is going to conceive a child, and that she shall call his name Jesus, and she don't completely understand the plan, but as we see, as all of this happens and she knows that this plan could bring trouble in her life, that this plan could bring hardship in her life, that this plan doesn't really make sense to her in her life, but I want you to see how Mary responds. Even as she begins to question the angel and begins to try to understand, she fully doesn't understand, but I want to share one verse with you in Luke chapter number 1, verse number 38. The Bible says, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Even though that Mary didn't understand what the angel had said, even though it may have confused her a little bit, or may have known that trouble could come in her life because of this, she may have known that hardships could come into her life because of this, because it didn't make any sense whatsoever to her, I want you to notice what she said. She says, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. I want to challenge you women with something this morning. I want to challenge you mothers. I want to challenge you grandmothers with something. I want to challenge you ladies that maybe don't even have children yet. I want to challenge you with this. Fully surrender your life unto God even when it doesn't make sense. Fully surrender your life unto God even when it may bring trouble in your life. Fully surrender your life unto God when it doesn't seem like anything else is possible, or when it seems like maybe hardship may come your way. I want to challenge you to fully surrender your life unto God. I understand that you would fight a grizzly bear for your children. I understand that you would stand up for your husband. I understand that you do a lot of things that is not your responsibility to keep the house going while maybe we're asleep on the couch. I understand that there's a lot of things that happen in your life that we as men take for granted and we don't understand, and it confuses us. I understand all of those things that happen, but I want to ask you to do something. If you fully want to support your family, if you fully want to challenge your family, if you fully want to be there for your family, I want to tell you something. I know that I've seen some of you others at softball fields, and I've seen you ready to fight umpires because they called your little girl out. I've seen you ready to fight umpires because they said something about your son not swinging at a strike or whatever. I've seen some of you ready to fight a coach because they didn't play your son or your daughter. But I want to tell you something. All of that is great and all of that's wonderful, and I hope I'm being mostly funny and that it's all fun and games, but I want to tell you something. There's some things in life that we take serious, some things that we take too serious, and I think this pandemic has taught me some things in my life that I take too serious when really and truly my focus should be on God. And I want you as ladies to understand this morning, be ready to fight a grizzly bear for your children, be ready to stand up for them, be ready to do all of those things, but if you want to be the best mother that God's called you to be, I want to challenge you to fully surrender, even when it doesn't make sense, to fully surrender when it may bring hardships, to fully surrender when it may break friendships that you've had for years. If you want to be the mother, the wife that God has called you to be, this virtuous woman, this woman of valor, I ask you to fully surrender, just as Mary did right here. She said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. instill the word of God in your children. Let them see you be faithful to the house of God. Let you see them be faithful to the word of God. Let them see you being faithful unto God. And those are the things that are going to last for all eternity. I want to tell you something. I've seen parents so upset before at a ball game, about a ball game that meant absolutely nothing. And I have to use ball games because that was a big part of our life before this pandemic thing come along. And we were at ball games all the time. And I've seen parents get so upset about a ball game that didn't mean a thing, that tomorrow won't mean a thing, that next year you may never even talk about again. But I want to tell you something. There's some things that if we'll surrender our lives unto God, that we can absolutely change the eternity of our children, of our children's friends, of people in our family, if we'll fully surrender our lives unto God. So many times I think we want that relationship with God. We want that, hey God, I love you. And you love me, and you're a God of all mercy, and thank you so much for forgiving me, and how much truth there is and all that. But sometimes, instead of just using God for an object of mercy and goodness and grace, when are we as Christians going to fully surrender ourselves unto that God and say, God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for giving your son Jesus Christ. Behold, here I am. Now this is good for men, women, boys and girls. Behold, God, here I am. As Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. I want to challenge you to surrender unto God. I want to challenge you to learn what's important. You know, I think we all, at times in our life, we have been right on track. We knew what was important. There have been times that I was surrendered to God. There have been times when I haven't been so surrendered to God. You say, well, what do you mean, preacher? You surrendered your life at 7. I sure did. I surrendered my eternity. I asked God to forgive me of my sins and to come into my heart. But you know what? There have been times during my life that I didn't deny myself, take up my cross and follow him daily. But instead, I'd done what I wanted to do. I wasn't surrendered unto him. All the things that the world has to offer, the fun that we can have as families, and again, the things that you can do and we can all laugh and joke and carry on about, there's nothing wrong with those things. But I believe there are some things sometimes that get in our way of being surrendered unto God. I believe there's sometimes that there's some things that come along the way that pull us away from God. It may not be something that's just horrendous as the world looks at us, but it could be something that's putting separation between you and God because we're not surrendered. See, because Mary surrendered and because she said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me as thou hast said. We know that Jesus Christ was brought into this world for one purpose. And that is because God loved us so much that even though we were sinners, even after I accepted Jesus Christ, I have continued to fall and to fail and come short, that he loved me so much that he was willing to allow Jesus Christ to come and give his life for me, to die there on a cross. I'm thankful for the day at 7 years old that I stopped and I said, God, forgive me of my sins. But I also know there's been many times that I need to stop and say, God, I want to surrender. God, be it unto me as you have said. Take my life and use it for your glory. Again, I'm thankful for all the mothers. I'm thankful for the women in my life who've had positive influence on me, especially spiritually. But I want to ask you this morning, are you surrendered to God? Are you fully surrendered? Jennifer, Hannah, if y'all will get us an invitation song for just a moment. I don't know your heart, no more than you know mine. See, it's a running joke at our house, as I said a few moments ago, about putting on the holy breeches. But I think if we'll all be honest with ourselves, there's times that we put on our holy breeches. That we got this facade of everything's okay between us and God. That we got this front that I'm surrendered to God. But only you know, and only I know, if you're truly surrendered, if I'm truly surrendered. It's between you and God. It's between me and God. I can't change it for you, and you can't change it for me. But if I really want to be what God's called me to be, I know we've been talking about mothers this morning, but if I want to be what God's called me to be, and I'm not talking about a pastor or a preacher, I'm talking about a child of God. If I really want to be what God's called me to be, I must surrender completely unto Him. Lord, I want to thank You and I want to praise You for all that You do. God, I know that I fail at surrendering. God, I know there are times that I do surrender, and then it seems like I reach and I take some back for myself. That, God, I let things fall to the side that don't need to fall to the side. God, that my focus changes to things I shouldn't be focused on, and I'm not totally surrendered. God, I do want to thank You for the mothers that You've put around my life. God, I pray, dear Father, that You'll bless them. God, I pray that You'll help us all to have it in our heart. Help especially the mothers this morning here on Mother's Day to understand that all of this stuff that they do is wonderful, and I so appreciate it. But to be really what God's called them to be, they must surrender unto God. God, thank You for the godly women that You've put around my life. Help me always to appreciate them. And God, help me, I pray, that I live my life in a way that is surrendered unto You, that gives You glory. God, I pray for anybody that's listening today, maybe they found themselves in the same boat I'm in, and we need to surrender some things unto You. God, I pray that they'll make that decision. In Jesus' name, amen. Hannah, if you will, sing us a song of invitation. Thank you for being with us this morning. I trust that God spoke to your heart. I trust that God's word spoke to your heart. Now I ask you to listen for the Holy Spirit and respond and surrender.
What you need, but you keep on searching. I've done all the work, but you keep on working. When you're running on empty and you can't find the remedy, just come to the well. You can spend your whole life chasing what's missing, but that empty inside, it just ain't gonna listen. When nothing can satisfy and the world leaves you high and dry, just come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more. All who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the well. So bring me your heart, no matter how broken, just come as you are. When your last prayer is spoken, just rest in my arms a while. You'll feel the change, my child, when you come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more. All who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the well. And now that you're full of love beyond measure, your joy's gonna flow like a stream in the desert. Soon all of the world will see living water is found in me, 'cause you've come to the well. all who thirst will thirst no more, and all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail, so leave it all behind and come to the well.
Thank you again for being with us this morning. Good Lord willing, I'll see you Wednesday night at 7 o'clock.